Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Good morning. There I am.
How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. And yourself?
Very good. Very eager to read our passage for the morning.
Okay, let's hear it. I know exactly what you mean.
So, even good people, when they have been struck down by illness or misfortune, sometimes ask, why did this happen to me? This is a most peculiar question. What we should ask is, why should this happen to anybody? Simply asking this question at a deeper level of awareness brings the patient to bear tragedies without self-pity, releasing the insight and compassion to help others and to grow ourselves. Pleasant and unpleasant together are the very texture of life. Only when we give our best, whatever comes, good or bad, can we live in freedom. Shall I read it again?
Yeah, please. It's big.
Even good people, when they have been struck down by illness or misfortune, sometimes ask, why did this happen to me? This is a most peculiar question. What we should ask is, why should this happen to anybody? Simply asking this question at a deeper level of awareness brings the patience to bear tragedies without self-pity, releasing the insight and compassion to help others and to grow ourselves. Pleasant and unpleasant together are the very texture of life. Only when we give our best, whatever comes, good or bad, can we live in freedom.
You know, it reminds me of that story that is always told of the Buddha when a young mother brought her small child to the Buddha. The child was dead, and she was inconsolable and in that place of why has this happened to my child? Why has this happened to me? He sent her off to find a home where nothing like this had ever happened. And of course, she could find none. And at the end of the day, came back ready to accept that this is part of life and this happens to everyone.
It's not personal. And to join the order. Yeah. Well, and that, yes. The interesting part about the passage and the story point to a universal process that we all go through, right? Something happens, and we've been talking about it on these calls, and all of a sudden, when it's taken personally, when it becomes about me, is when that egocentric process happens. There's a separation and an ownership. And I think what is being pointed at, that when we recognize that that's what's happening, when we have to seize, we have to reframe or recontextualize the question as a consequence of which we actually make the movement out of the process of the of personalization and egocentricity to the process of awareness, from which a different orientation towards what is happening becomes possible.
Yeah. Yeah, and really only then, right?
Yes.
That's the only way we can participate wholeheartedly. Excuse me. And I think about, you know, in awareness practice, of course, what we look at all the time is how life is moment by moment by moment by moment offering us a choice of freedom. And we are so conditioned to look to ego. And ego says, no. But that choice is always there for us. And if we begin to recognize every moment of life as that gift, that opportunity, I could say yes to this and move along the path of freedom, or I could say no to what life is offering and remain stuck behind ego's barricades, then it it again, it's sort of we have a chance to view our lives and all of life through a different lens.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Not limited by the conditioned reality of me.
Yes. I don't want this. I never want this, whatever this is. I always want something other, right?
Yeah. Okay, right. Well, here's our first caller. First caller, you're
good.
Now live
Thank
on
you.
The air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Brad in Annapolis, Maryland.
Hello, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
How are you this morning, afternoon?
I'm doing okay. You know, what came up for me recently in my practice, which goes right in line with what you're saying, you know, the wisdom just drops in out of nowhere, is that every moment of my life is a new opportunity to be present and to be here.
Yes. Yes.
And what ego does is constantly distract me from seeing that. But in every moment, I am alive and new. It is this karma and it is this ego that wants to maintain itself, that has me doing things that from the heart are a challenge to get away from.
Yes. And seeing it in that, from that perspective, you know, with what's happening in the world today and our participation, okay, just today, it's every day, but just today, looking at everything from, well, this is how it should be. This is what's right. This is the good path. And I often laugh to myself and say, I am so glad nobody's going to appoint me God, because I really wouldn't have a clue about how to make this the best opportunity for everyone. Now, we could say, well, whatever happened. You know, you could just make the worst decisions in the world and they'd still be everyone's best opportunity. But that's kind of not what we're going for, right? Once we realize that, ego can take us down some dark paths, and there's still great spiritual opportunities, true, but it doesn't need to be that way. Right? Life doesn't want, as far as we can tell, doesn't want us to go down dark paths. Only ego does.
Yeah, and particularly with, you know, why you're doing these calls right now, I notice that I am addicted to the internet in terms of thinking from ego's perspective that if I look at it somehow and I get upset enough, somehow that's going to change. You know, I've been involved in that process my whole life. I realize now that my depression was always about that. If I get down enough, maybe it will bring about change. And usually that just keeps you down and feeling, you know, that one process does not lead to another. Feeling down is feeling down.
And it's such a little kid place, isn't it? I have the power to control my parents' lives by how I am.
Right.
And of course, you know, little kids get that information because parents say things like, "You are driving me crazy," and then they act crazy. And so the little kid says, "Wow," on an unconscious level, but wow, I am able to control reality. And then we grow up, and even though rationally, we know that that's not the case, there's still a lot of that deep belief about that. Right? If I get upset enough, something will be different. And especially if enough of us get upset enough. And, of course, what we see is people on both sides of any issue getting upset enough. And all that happens is a lot of really upset people.
Yeah, you know, it's so amazing. I just, real quick before I go, that you said to me one time on a retreat that the Buddha said that the world is insane. And you really can see that, because it's not so much in politics that we want to help each other. It's a matter of who's right and wrong, and there is no such thing.
That's right. That's right. But part of what we were reading this morning was, I'm a big fan of Jesus. I'm not a big fan of what's been done in his name, but I am a big fan of Jesus, right? And the thing that the man tried to communicate to all of us was, don't judge.
Yeah.
Don't judge. Judge not. I mean, as I've never done this. I, at some point, you know, when I retire, I'll do it. Just go through and see in the average New Testament how many times the man said some version of don't judge. And we can just bypass that with this idea that if we are judgmental enough, we can make ourselves the right people and we can punish everybody else into being the right people.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Just one last thing, something that's very hard for me to accept, and just one small piece of content, is when people then want to put their religion into policy. That always scares me, just because, you know, then again, here I am with a belief that, you know, you should keep those things separate. So that is a
well, what you're saying, to me, Brad, what you're saying is we should keep our beliefs separate.
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, I think there isn't any religion, I don't care, it could be the most primitive religion in the world. At the core, there's probably nothing that we would disagree with. If we lived the core of any religion, we would be all right.
Yeah.
It's what we as conditioned human beings, what ego has done in the name of that teaching that is so disastrous. So beliefs, keep our beliefs out of it. And actually, if we, you know, if we just introduce something as simple as the golden rule, and we all started living by that, I think we would not be too far afield.
I concur.
Yeah. All right. Thank you,
all right,
sir.
Well, thank you so
Take
much
care.
For your time. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Fred. You know, Sherry, I think the policy that we should have across the board on everything is take the ego out of it.
Yes.
Right?
No egos allowed.
No egos allowed. I mean, that's why I love the privileged environment, because it is a structure that assists us to do that. It's sort of self-regulating, right? And I mean self mm-hmm. as in the ego self-regulating. It keeps the ego
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I have a doormat that I found that says, check your ego at the door, uh-huh. which is in front of my door. But and I love to look at it every time I walk into the house. And just for that reason, it's just that little reminder that, hey, there is no moment where we can afford to go to sleep. Because the ego is always right there, ready to take the reins.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's our next caller. Next caller, you are now
All right.
live on the
Thank
air.
You.
Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mark from Chicago.
Hey, Mark.
Hello.
Hi. The first thing I want to say is thanks so much not only for doing these sessions, but to all the technical and whoever people are behind the scenes to put up the archives, because I often can't make this call, and it's so nice to be able to hear that, you know, on my own schedule.
Yes, and whenever we want and as often as we want. We can't, you know, we never want to get too far away from Sangha, do we?
Right, yeah, that's a great thing to be able to listen to those over and over when I hear a part that really touches me, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing I wanted to talk with you about was, you know, I grew up in a culture of sort of organized racism. And as I grew up and I found my way out of that, my own way was to just kind of push people out of my life who I knew were racist. And, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't have the benefit of practice. I didn't have the benefit really of much maturity in the sense of age or anyone around me who could guide me. And one of the things that's happened as a result of the election is people who I am not real super close friends with, but rather close friends, I see some racist tendencies again. I see some racial stuff in that. And so I'm looking at what do I do? I mean, I don't want to just prune relationships the same way I did when I was 20, I don't think. But ego is having a field day with me on trying to decide what part of this is just me being judgmental and wanting people to know they've been judged and trying to change them. And what part of it is me just trying to protect myself and stay away from something, you know, that I don't want around me in my life.
Yeah. And for me, the interesting place that I look at that is with projection. I love projection. I love it as a spiritual tool, right? Because it just reveals everything for us. And so if I look at someone and I realize that they are racist and I reject them for being racist, what am I rejecting them for? It's not, I mean, what's my deal? Where is my bigotry? Where is my prejudice? Are you with me? Or was that a leap?
Are you saying
Let me do another one that I always find entertaining, is being prejudiced against people who are prejudiced.
Yes, okay, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. So it's me finding a way to blame them for the very process that I'm doing.
Yes. Yes. So now let me ask, and I see that 100%, and let me ask an analogous question. It's always been difficult for me to be around angry people. And I hear and I read and seem to understand that if I were really at a level of maturity where I could let that just wash past me and not let it touch me and either draw me into it or have me making judgments about it, it wouldn't matter if I were surrounded with angry people. But it does affect me. And so
you're
I
not there yet.
Try to...
Yeah,
I'm
it's
not,
not
there
a contest.
Yet. And so I choose to try very hard to not be around angry people. And so what part of choosing to not be around prejudiced people is different than that?
Right. Well, I think I project you're answering your own question, right? So it depends, Mark, on what we want. Now, as a Buddhist, several things happened to me when I found Zen and Buddhism, but yeah, all of it. And that is that one of the things that sort of an ego can cling to fell away, right? So it's not gonna be any better for me if I avoid things in this lifetime. That's one of the things that I got. Everybody knows, in my youth, I decided committing suicide would be a good idea. I was unsuccessful. I'm still here. And when I found Buddhism, that option became closed to me because I got it. You know, if it's this bad now, do I want to risk worse, or would I rather see if I can clean it up now, right? And hope for something better in the future. That had to go too, but you know what I mean. So with that, for me, I would want to put myself in positions where I am most likely to encounter what I need to transcend in order to be free. Not as a contest, but as a workshop.
Wow.
So to go into a situation where people are angry, not not focused on them at all, except that they are the catalyst for my reactions. And what I'm really focusing on is what's going on with me. I actually at that point don't care what's going on with them. They're just, you know, they're just players in my psychodrama.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I see that clearly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's gutsy, right? Because what we're saying is that we are going to take full responsibility for everything that exists in this reality.
Right.
Which is good, because we are the creators of it.
And so the thing that keeps, that will allow me to not be drawn in the way that ego would like me to be into all this is just back to awareness.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
go
ahead.
No, you finish that thought.
I was just going to say, if I'm really aware when I'm around someone who's angry or racist or whatever, of what's going on with me, then I won't get drawn into being afraid that, I'm going to become an angry person because I'm around one, or whatever ego takes me off into thinking.
Well, what I project ego is actually doing there, of course, is keeping you in that fear, control, protected, in quotes, little finger marks in the sky, protected place so that it can stay in control, right? Because, again, projecting, what you're going to find is that you do have a deep well of emotion in you that can show up as what we call anger, fear, sadness, disappointment, grief, all kinds of things that you're going to get in touch with when you allow all of you to be present, to be present. You are going to. Mm-hmm. Which is, to me, the good news. Because in that,
wow,
you get to the bottom of it. You get to heal it. Not avoid it, not try to pretend that it's not there. Because, again, you know, if we were following a religion or a spirituality that said, okay, you're born, and then you get to the end, and that's it, and you get a judgment, and you either did a good job or you didn't do a good job. Well, then you're just going to be focused on trying to do a good job. And, you know, if you can fool God, all the better, right? But, of course, all we're fooling is ourselves, right? Because all it means is, so one of my favorite Huberisms, you know, if you're a good person because you're afraid not to be, you're not a good person. You're just afraid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boy, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when we take that step into, okay, I want to see it all. Because the thing is, you're not seeing Mark. You're seeing ego controlling a human life. So what we have the opportunity to do is to get to the bottom of it, get to authenticity, and free the human being, save the person, which is what the Buddha taught, right? Work out our own salvation. And to me, what that means is get really clear about everything that's egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate, not choose that, and choose authenticity instead. And so in that way, we can go into life absolutely fearless, because I'm not protecting ego. I'm not afraid of what I'm going to see. There's nothing that I'm going to see that is scary or awful or any that isn't ego. So realizing that and making that, again in quotes, separation between what is ego and what is authenticity, that's the track we're on. So bring it out, right? Let's see it. Let's see it all. How ugly can ego be? Ugly.
So here's a question. I'm at a party with people I know, and if I thought maybe I should go away and reflect on this and meditate on this myself, but I'll ask you since you're on the phone. Somebody tells a racist joke. What does a free mark look like in a circumstance where someone tells a racist joke at a party?
Well, that's going to change over time. Okay, that's going to change over time. Because in the beginning, you're going to probably be paralyzed with about 1,000 conflicting emotions.
Yeah.
Okay, and just struck dumb, right? Over time, you might get to something like, oh, wow, gosh, that is just so painful for me to hear. It just breaks my heart. You know, I think about, what if somebody said something like that about my child?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is probably very, very close to what you're actually feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the part of what you're saying that is so striking for me is that it leaves out the part of that I want to change them. It becomes about what I am.
Yes. And you know, as far as I can tell, nothing has the power to change like authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Every spiritual hero we have, what we responded to in them, what changed us in encountering them was that we encountered authenticity and it touched our hearts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Most welcome. Take good care.
Gosho.
Gosho.
Wow, Sherry, that was just so incredibly powerful.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, we have 3 minutes. Shall I attempt to bring someone else on?
You know, I don't think so, Ashwini, because I think there's no conversation that we are going to be able to have in 3 minutes. So maybe we'll just stay with that. And I know because we...
I said, oh, yes.
I know because we talked earlier that we have a couple more quotes that we're very excited about that fit very nicely with this perspective. And then 2 more days this week in which to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, there's so much about just that that I would love to get to a place of trying to reflect it so that we all have it. And I actually find myself unable to do that because I was so moved by it. It struck me as so profoundly the orientation to have that ability to live life from the place of, all I'm here to do is to determine what is conditioning and what is life and get really clear that all I'm looking for is authenticity and I have to have no fear of what I encounter that is ugly or venal or hateful because that is not what authenticity is. That's what stands between me and authenticity. And to be able to live an orientation where what you're suggesting, where you put yourself in a situation, in all of those situations where conditioning has me not wanting to encounter its ugliness. It's just breathtaking in terms of the journey that we're on and the vision of that journey that you just offered.
Mm. Well, what occurs to me about that is that... today is Wednesday, Thursday. We'll have group at the monastery. I know the folks at the monastery are listening in, and I know that you're going to be there, as I am, good Lord willing, creek don't rise. And maybe we can continue this discussion on Thursday night, and then I think those recordings are also available to people. Is that true?
Well, we're working on it, trying to make all the webinar groups available to all people. So
All right, good. So we'll have another chance to look at this and to look at it after we've had a chance to consider.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Sounds wonderful, Deep Gasho. I mean, the thing that I wanted to end with is that quote from Alan Watts about Zen does not confuse spirituality and peeling the potatoes. When you're peeling the potatoes, you're peeling the potatoes, or however he said it. And to me, what this morning is such a practical application of the spirituality that we live in every situation. And I love practice. And I love this practice.
Me too. Yes, and to tie it back to something we were talking about earlier, no beliefs required, just practice.
Just practice. Yeah. Well, I mean, where else would you get tips on what to say at a cocktail party that is deeply based on spiritualism? Okay, thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.